This is our first Mass of the New Year. Happy New Year. First Mass in this chapel, I should say, of the New Year. And it's also our first Mass in the second part of the Christmas season. Christmas season starts out with the great four Masses on Christmas, and then the octave. So the octave was completed yesterday, January 1st. Then after the octave comes the second part, which is, it doesn't have a name exactly, it's just the days between January 1st and Epiphany. So that's where we are, the days between January 1st and Epiphany. Epiphany is on Sunday, and this year the season ends the very next day, Baptism of the Lord. So it's a very short Christmas season. I was puzzled by this because Advent was also short. So you would think that if Advent is short, Christmas would be long, but I guess not. I have to look at the calendar and figure that one out, how you can have both short Advent and short Christmas. Well, there are a lot of mysteries I suppose we can ponder. One of the mysteries I like to ponder and I have never been able to figure out is the secular calendar and when the national holidays are. I learned a couple of days ago that today is not a holiday. It's a regular work day. So why? I don't know. Why the day after Christmas was a holiday all of a sudden and the day after New Year's is not a holiday? And okay. Some mysteries we have to wait to have them revealed. But for now, we focus on much more important things. That is the light of the world, the Word made flesh, the one who has come. We've been celebrating him for a week now, an octave, and we have seen that he is the Messiah. We have seen what the shepherds discovered when they went to the manger. We have celebrated that he's the member of the Holy Family, the member of the holiest family. We celebrated yesterday that he is the Son of Mary, who is Mother of God. We honored her as Mother of God because he's God. So once we get to that identification of Jesus Christ as God, well, that's pretty much says it all. But it's difficult for us to get it because our expectations on God and how God should work and how God should reveal himself keep getting in the way of how God really does reveal himself. This is why we need the guidance of the liturgy, and we're very grateful to have it every day, to be reminded of how God works, how God speaks, how he reveals himself. Today we return to the great figure of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was clearly an Advent figure. Well, now we see, this week especially, he's a Christmas figure too. Because in Advent he was preparing the way for the coming of the Savior. And in Christmas he's pointing out who this Savior is. In this Gospel, which we have heard recently, it's the testimony of John. You could say the negative testimony of John, because they pester him to identify himself and he just won't do it. He just will not focus on himself. At least not in the way they want him to. It's not that he doesn't know himself. It's not that he doesn't accept his role. It's that he doesn't want to get in the way of the one for whom he is sent. He wants to make sure there's no confusion between him, the lowly forerunner, and the Lord. And he's great at this. They ask him if he's the Christ. What a question. Are you the Christ? Because they think maybe he is. He was such an extraordinary figure. No, I'm not the Christ. Are you the prophet? No. Are you Elijah? No. They have all these lofty ideas about who this strange man in the desert is. I mean, he just doesn't let anybody think highly of him. I'm just a voice. I'm just a voice in the desert. I'm not worthy to untie the sandal straps of the one who is to come. I'm by comparison to the one who is to come, I'm practically nothing. So if you want to know who I am, I'm nobody. It doesn't satisfy them. But it's a very beautiful testimony. Not only does it help us understand who John is, but it also helps us understand how we are to recognize the one who is to come and the one who has come. See, John not only humbles himself, but he gives us an example of what we are to do. If we're going to recognize the Lord, he says to the leaders, you don't recognize him. He is among you, but you don't recognize him. And this is true of us too. We don't recognize the Lord because we get in the way, because our preconceived ideas about how things should be keep getting in the way. How God should work and how we should be treated and how things should go. John doesn't do that. He just lets people live in a kind of emptiness in order to make space for the Lord. And this is one of the challenges that Jesus faced too. I mean, it's maybe not quite the best way to describe it this way, but I'll say it this way so that we understand it. See, Jesus, who is the Word made flesh, Jesus, who is God present among us, he if you know in his public ministry, he's constantly disappearing. He's constantly telling people not to say anything. He does things privately. He wanders off and by himself, as if he doesn't really want to make a show of himself. Well, why? Here he is to come to save the world. Why is he so low-key? Because this is the way he's showing us. As soon as we rise up, we have to be humbled. That's the way of the spiritual life. If you want to rise up, humble yourself. If you want to be great, be the servant of all. The way to ascend is to descend. It's a fundamental principle of the spiritual life. And Jesus, who is, of course, the greatest, he does this all the time, well, all the way to the cross. He empties himself all the way to death. And that way just is hard for us to get. We think, okay, now that it's Christmas time, or now that it's New Year's, well, we should celebrate, and there should be no more suffering, and there should be no more wars, and then no, everyone should like us, and we shouldn't have any sicknesses, and we should be considered great. Well, God thinks we're great, but not in the way we think we're great. God thinks we're great in the way he thinks John the Baptist is great, in the way he thinks Basil the Great is great, today's saint. Those who empty themselves, give themselves in love, in service, they're great. But when we put ourselves in the way of God, we're not great. In fact, we can be anti-great. This is the part of the point of today's first reading. John, this is Saint John now, not John the Baptist, but John the Evangelist, the Apostle. He says, the problem here is that people do not remain in the true teaching about Jesus Christ. People deny Jesus is the Christ, people deny the Father and the Son, and people reject the revealed truth. And why do people reject the revealed truth? Partly because it seems too lowly, and partly because it's too demanding. You know that passage about the children, they, you know, singing and playing a tune and expecting everyone to dance, and playing a dirge and expecting everyone to mourn. That's the attitude. God's way, God's revealed way, is too lowly. Who could accept a God who is a baby in a manger? Too lowly, too humiliating. But God's way is also too demanding. He pushes us beyond our capacity. Okay, and that's why people deny that Jesus is the Christ. And now what John says here is that whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ, whoever denies the Father and the Son, this is the Antichrist. Now, the Antichrist is kind of a loaded term, because in the book of Revelation, the Antichrist is a figure representing Satan or Satan's power in the world. But here, John is saying it in a little bit different nuance. It means anybody who rejects the truth is anti-truth. Anyone who rejects Christ is anti-Christ. Oh, we don't reject Christ. We're here for daily mass. We're not rejecting Christ. But we do have the natural tendency to rise up and get in the way of Christ. With our prejudices and our demands and our complaints, we get in the way. And the antidote to that is to humble ourselves, to allow ourselves to be humbled, to take the path of John the Baptist. Don't even focus on me. Don't even try to figure me out. If you want to know who I am, know the one I'm pointing to, and then you'll understand who I am. So if you want to know me, focus on Jesus Christ. This is the mission of all of us, right? We're all like John, here to lead people to God. And if we're doing that, well then people will know who we are. But as soon as we're pointing to ourselves, then people won't understand who we are, and they won't get any closer to God either. So this is why John is set before us. He's a great example of a humble, faithful, sacrificial service. Today's saints are too. I won't go into them, but Basil and Gregory Nazianze, they were really gifted people. You know, these brilliant minds, and Basil in particular had a personality that was magnetic. He just won people over just by smiling at them. And so he had the capacity to be great in the human sense, but he understood that would be a disaster. So he kept on withdrawing, he kept on giving himself, he kept on dedicating himself to service, and that's why he's really great. Basil the Great. Okay, enough of a lesson. We can study the saints. By the way, Basil's writings are the origin of the fourth Eucharistic prayer, so we'll be using that Eucharistic prayer later in the Mass. But and he doesn't, of course, mention himself in the prayer, but it's a sign of his service of the Church, his lasting influence on the Church. Okay, so let's ask John the Baptist and Basil the Great and Gregory Nazianzen to intercede for us, that we will learn this contradictory way of greatness by the way of service, of rising up by going down in humility.